Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 17th, 2022. Today is Thursday in the second week of Lent. Today's reflection is drawn from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. The bulk of today's passage involves a couple of scenes of controversy around Sabbath observance. To be fair, Jesus has no controversy. Jesus is simply living his ministry. But there's an occasion where his disciples pick grain on the Sabbath day in order to have something to eat. And then there's a scene where Jesus heals a person with a physical deformity within the context of the synagogue on the Sabbath. Both of these stories are presented as ways in which the religious leadership is beginning to be angry with Jesus and even at this early stage in his ministry begin to have some conversation with each other about how do we get rid of this guy. I think that these Sabbath observance stories are really a part of a larger theme about how Jesus' ministry is challenging the religious leadership and how the religious leadership responds. Be that as it may, it is always helpful for us to keep in mind that by the time Luke's gospel was written, some of the people or groups in the gospel that are presented as Jesus' foils, Jesus' enemies, Jesus' interlocutors, these were the same groups that fledgling Christian communities were dealing with in their own context. It's helpful to remember that there was not a monolithic, quote, Judaism in Jesus' day or even within the first decades after Jesus' death and resurrection. Rather, there were various streams of Judaism. And the Pharisees, with their concern for keeping of the law, which they believed was a gift from God, not a burden, the Pharisees were one such group. There were other groups like the Essenes, the Sadducees, which we read about in the Gospels. There was certainly a group of political activists who were Jewish, known as the Zealots. So there were all of these various streams of Judaism. And by the time Luke writes his gospel toward somewhere around after AD 70, before AD 85, somewhere in there, by this time the rifts between those Jews who believed Jesus to be the Messiah of God and those Jews who did not believe it had become pretty wide. Anyway, just helpful background as you read any of these stories in the Bible or in the Gospels where Jesus is at odds with the religious leadership over some interpretation of the law. But today, the piece that caught my attention happens after the controversies. Jesus goes to a mountain to pray, and then there's this interesting verse, verse 13 in chapter 6, which I'll admit, I don't remember from my previous readings of Luke. Here's the verse. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. What follows then is the naming of the 12. And this list of 12 apostles is a little bit different than other lists of the 12 in other Gospels. The key players are the same, Peter, James, John, Judas. But what we would call some of the lesser known apostles, those names are different between one listing and another. Nonetheless, what struck me was Jesus calls his disciples and he chose 12 of them. So Jesus didn't just have 12 guys following him around. He had a much larger entourage. There was a group of disciples. It might be helpful to remember. The word disciple simply means student, one who takes up the disciplines of the master, of the teacher, of the rabbi. So there were disciples, people who were following after Jesus to learn from him, and the 12 were a part of this entourage. But in Luke's telling, out of this group of learners, students, apprentices, Jesus chooses 12. And there's no indication that he chooses them because they're somehow better students than everybody else. He simply chooses them and he gives them another title, apostle. The word apostle means someone who is sent, bearing the authority of the one who sent them. And we will get that sense as we move through Luke about what the apostles are up to. But I think for our own time, it's interesting to reflect upon our vocation as disciples and apostles. Most of us would probably want to think of ourselves as disciples, follower of Jesus, continuing to learn the ways of the gospel, continuing to learn Jesus' teaching, continuing to strive for practically inculcating Jesus' teaching in our lives and living that out in service into the world. The word apostle is probably a term we would not self-apply. That seems a cut above. But if we think about the word not conveying a particular status, but conveying a particular vocation, that puts a different spin on it. How are we, as disciples, sent into the world? And how are we sent bearing the authority of the one who sent us? I think this has some real repercussions for how we live our lives as Christians. It occurs to me that we always think that in order to be faithful witnesses to Jesus, we need to learn more. We Episcopalians, we have bought into the way to be a good witness is to know more than we could possibly need to know. You know, we have problems in the Episcopal Church getting people to teach kindergarten Sunday school because people are worried that a kindergartner will ask them a question about God that they don't know. So we can be knowledge gluttons, thinking that if we just know one more piece of Bible trivia, if we can just access one more erudite interpretation, if we can just get one more scholarly spin, then somehow we will be better equipped to talk about our faith to our friends and families and neighbors. But remember what I said at the top of this? When Jesus calls the 12 from out of the entourage of disciples and names them apostles, he simply bestows the authority, his own authority, on them. There, like I said, there is nothing to indicate that they were better qualified. I always like the little line that says, if God calls you, God will qualify you. Now, yes, I understand there is a need for people being trained, and I understand that we don't want folks preaching and teaching in church who maybe don't have at least some competency in those disciplines. But I wonder what it would be like if we would let go of our fixation on knowing more and trust that the one who has called us into ministry together, laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons, we've all been called through the waters of baptism, that if we've been called, we've not just been called to come to church and learn more. We've been called so that we can be sent. We say this every Sunday in the post-communion prayer in most Episcopal churches. Send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do with gladness and singleness of heart. And at least part of that work involves doing the work of Jesus, being sent under the authority of Jesus, being in some ways apostolic. So today it might be a good opportunity to reflect on the ways in which we are being sent. To whom are we being sent? How are we being sent? What is the message we are to deliver once we arrive there? It feels to me that there are many opportunities for us to be apostolic. Maybe it's not as bold and big as we hear reports of the 12 in the Gospels. Maybe being apostolic is giving a glass of water in Jesus' name and actually saying that. I'm giving you this glass of water because I believe that Jesus is the person who can quench all our thirsts. Maybe being apostolic is doing those works of service that we mainliners are good at doing, feeding the hungry, collecting things, giving money. But maybe instead of simply doing those actions and leaving the words unsaid, we would actually say, we're doing this because Jesus has called us and sent us in the world to do works of mercy. Jesus has equipped us. Jesus has sent us. And I think in some ways it's our responsibility, our opportunity, our great privilege, and our duty to speak the name of Jesus in the world. And in so doing, perhaps in our own little way, become apostles. Let us pray. Almighty God, by our baptism into the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you turn us from the old life of sin. Grant that we, being reborn to new life in him, may live in righteousness and holiness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.